Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
From Nashville, Tennessee, I am Chris Brown, your host of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This is a daily call-in show where we talk about your life and your money. It is my passion and my calling to serve you as we are all equipped and encouraged by the Word of God. Let's hear those questions. Our phone lines are open at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. Or you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. It's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Well, I just want to thank you all once again for helping get the word out. I say this often on here, but we don't take donations for this service, but we rely on you telling your friends about the show and about our incredible website at stewardship.com. Thank you for doing that. From billboards to posting us on your websites to your tweets and Facebook posts, sharing articles on Facebook, writing reviews on iTunes, telling your friends to subscribe, all of it makes a huge difference. We really are seeing stewardship in America being reclaimed, and it's because of the hundreds of thousands of you all doing your part. We are doing this together, and it is such an honor to reclaim with you. Our phone lines are open again, 866-357-3283. And I hear we have a few of you waiting on the line. Our first call comes in from Charlotte, North Carolina, my hometown. This is JP. JP, how are you?
Doing great. How are you, Chris? Pleasure to speak with you.
Oh, pleasure is all mine. How can I help you?
All right, quickly, I just want to thank you and the Ramsey team. We're FBU coordinators, and we love the mission and purpose God's placed in the heart of your team.
Oh, thank you. And we love you. We know this all happens because of folks like you getting kneecap to kneecap and eyeball to eyeball with folks who are, some of them are needing drastic help, and some other ones are just needing a little bit of coaching. But it takes you being there. So thank you for being a coordinator.
Indeed, of course. So my wife and I have been working on drilling down over 100K in debt over the past few years. We're down to about 28K, and we plan to do our debt-free scream in probably the next 12 to 18 months. We've had $1,000 in savings for a while, but with three small kids, a single income, a couple aging cars, house maintenance, et cetera, I'm concerned with only having $1,000 in savings now. So my question is it okay to pause our debt snowball and bump up our savings in order to mitigate that risk? I guess I'm fighting between Proverbs 21:20 and Proverbs 6:5.
And what would you want to bump it up to?
I would want to do 10K. You're probably going to say that's too high.
How long would it take you to do that?
I could have that by January.
I mean, you've got about $2,500 in margin every month.
Well, we are in a 26-month pay period, or 26 pay, you know, cycle. So we live on the 24, and we save the other two. So it's a little bit less than that, but we hit one of those extra pay cycles at the end of December into January. So that's an extra about 4K.
Okay. Well, first of all, way to go on the $72,000 in paid off debt. That's huge.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's been a lot of hard work.
Yeah, I bet it has. I bet it has. You're right about your hunch. I don't like 10K. I don't like, I like sticking to the plan. And I understand the risk. I understand the fear of risk. I drive a 2005 and a 2006. They both have over 100,000 miles. And I totally get that. And my wife drives about 100 miles a day. I feel like I'm in the same ballpark as you. And stick with what's working. You've paid off $72,000 doing it this way and staying aggressive. I would stay aggressive. The risk, I don't see the risk like you do. I see you, if you're saving $2,000 to $2,500 a month, or not saving, but margin to attack your debt with, then if one of them goes kaput, then you've got it the next month. I mean, because you have it. So you can go buy a $1,000 or $2,000 car the next month and refill up your emergency fund. So you've got the $1,000 for the emergency fund. That's what it's for, emergencies. And then you've got an extra $1,000 every month that you can go ahead and buy a $2,000 car. If you put the $10,000 in there, When your car goes kaput, you're going to spend all $10,000 on the car, and you're not in that spot.
Right.
So I would say until you get an expert opinion telling you this car is going to last one more week, it's too soon. I think if I were in your shoes, and I've been there in these exact shoes before, you are subconsciously looking for justification to, and it's subconscious, it's not on purpose, but you got to stick with what's working. So if it goes south, you buy a $2,000 car and you keep doing the $2,000 car, which is barely dependable, until you pay off all your debt. But your hunch was right.
Right. Yeah. We're just so close to the goal. I don't want anything to get in the way of that goal. So I thought maybe if we could just stick a little extra money over here, we can really be focused and hammer down on everything else. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, what's happening is you're thinking the car, when a car goes south, I'm going to have to borrow $10,000. That's the thought, and that's not truth. It's a thought, but it's not actually, you have other options, and your other options is to buy a $2,000 beater until you, 14 months from now, when you're debt free.
Okay.
So, and here's the deal. I think we got to ask ourselves, we're in these moments, we all are, and we have these moments where we're like, and you kind of doubt. And we have to remember, Philippians 3:17 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example." You've got to learn from what has already worked, and we've got to learn from you. And so listeners, check it out. JP is winning with money. He is getting out of this thing. He's paid off $72,000. And how have you done that? Well, exactly how you've been doing that. Let's stick with the plan, and you'll see yourself out of debt in the next 14 months.
All right. Focus, intensity over time, multiplied times God.
Yes. Preach it, brother.
All right.
Thank you
so much for your wisdom and guidance, Chris.
All right. Thank you. Next call comes in from Atlanta, Georgia. This is John. John, how are you?
Hi. I'm fine.
Good. How can I serve you?
Well, this has to do with the Dave Ramsey program that I was listening to.
Okay.
I've only listened to it a couple of times, so I'm not all that sure of the dynamics, but the thrust of what he seems to be saying is that he's really in favor of paying off a mortgage. And from where I sit, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. And I've kind of looked at the numbers. Is there something that I'm missing here?
Yeah. So what are the numbers that you're looking at?
Well, I'm 67, still working, don't have to ever retire if I don't want to. Got a little bit over $1 million in invested assets with a 147 mortgage.
Okay.
And it's not going to make me feel any better or sleep tighter at night knowing that I have that mortgage retired.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think it would be financially detrimental. So would this just be something where it depends on the individual circumstances, or it seemed to be a kind of a blanket position that he's taking.
And yeah.
It's a head scratcher to me.
Okay. When you said detrimental financially, what do you mean by that?
To keep the mortgage in place as opposed to retiring it.
And how is that helping you?
Well, I get the better part of a $4,000 write-off on taxes, which I recover only a part of based on my taxable income.
Mm-hmm.
Right, maybe 25-30%, and I'd have that 147 at work in the equity markets.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly in mutual funds, things of that nature, which got me about 15% last year. And even factoring out taxes, or 15% capital gains, I'm still way ahead of the game by carrying a house note instead of retiring it, since paying off that money just means that 147 is sunk into the abyss of the home, which is going to appreciate or depreciate as the market dictates, regardless of whether there's a note outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see if I was missing something on that.
I appreciate the perspective, and I appreciate you calling in. It adds a lot of value to our show and adds a lot of value to our listeners, and hopefully I can give you some clarity. The majority of folks that we speak with are not in a position where they have $1 million in investments and $147,000 mortgage balance. So the reason why you have the security that you do is because it's such a small part of your life. This 147 and the payment on it is probably very, very low, and you don't even feel it. And when we carry debt, more than just a percentage, so let's say that you're paying a 3% mortgage payment or 3% mortgage interest or 4%, and you're probably investing anywhere from some of your investments are probably getting 6 and some are getting 18. And you're getting everything in between. So in your mind, you're thinking, you know, why pay off 3% when I can gain 6 to 18? The component that you're not considering is that the majority of Americans are in a very risky position. 70% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. A third of American adults are currently in the debt collection process. So they're spending $1.26 for every dollar they earn. The perspective that you're bringing is just not a wise decision for most folks. In addition to that, Proverbs 22:7, and we are a faith-based organization. We truly believe the Bible as the absolute truth, not the absolute suggestion. Proverbs 22:7 says, the borrower is enslaved to the lender. Romans 13:8 says to owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. And Psalm 24:1 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If he is the owner, that means we're managers, and we're supposed to manage it for his glory. And we're supposed to manage it faithfully. And so the Bible is very clear about the fact that interest paid is a penalty and interest received is a reward. And so we just don't want anyone to be paying interest if they don't have to. We want to get them in a position where they can invest like crazy and where they don't have any risk in their life, where they're freed up completely. They can invest and they can give generously. Now, you're not feeling all of that because of all the successful things that you've done. Your successful decisions have outweighed the what I would say is not as brilliant of a decision, and that's the one of carrying a mortgage. I do not think that's wise at all. I don't think it's smart, and so we're trying to teach against that. You're not feeling it, so it's very difficult for you to comprehend it. So that's where we stand, and the whole idea is that we would be looking proactively at life. We'd be managing our finances through the looking through the windshield of where we're going, not through the rearview mirror saying, where have we been? What have we already spent? And let's budget to pay for whatever we've already spent. We want to make sure that we're only spending money on things that we can actually afford. And so we want people to be saving up proactively. Proverbs 21:20 says, in the house of the wise is choice food and oil. We want to make sure we have money so that we can purchase things that we can afford. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of clarity.
Yeah, another perspective there.
Yeah. The bottom line is you're looking for freedom and security, and what we teach teaches freedom and security.
Yeah.
All right, John?
Thanks.
All right, thank you. Well, folks, remember that you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. Got a quick email for you. It says, hey, Chris, we are 70 and so dumb. We have no savings, have pastored and ministered to hospice patients all our working lives. As you probably can guess, there was no retirement in those positions. We are living on our Social Security because of surgeries, etc. We are in debt $8,000 and have more to come. Ugh. We have been offered a program where we can sell some of our life insurance. My husband, $400,000 policy, and me, a $250,000 policy. What are your thoughts? I don't like it. You got survival and you got debt payments. I like survival. Survival's a good thing, and this is not something that I would do. I think you just do what you can do, pay them off as fast as you can. Do not rack up any more debt. I know these are surgery related, so there's not much you can do about it, and you just make payments the best you can, and do not mess with that insurance. So you've heard me talk about our ELPs, our endorsed local providers. And if you currently, right now, you're buying or selling a house, it isn't something that many of us have experience doing. So that's why most people, they get help from a real estate agent. I noticed that when I walked my kids to the bus stop the other day, that there was somebody putting a sign out in the yard. They're putting a for sale by owner sign in the yard. And in my mind, I was thinking, what's behind that? Why are they moving? This is not a town. You know, the town that I live in is a great place to live and could have been a job transfer, but maybe it could have been something inside the home where there was some, you know, some tension and maybe that caused a move. I don't know what it is, but I hated the fact that they felt like they had to sell by owner. As you guys know, we have our ELPs that provide help when it comes to real estate and when it comes to major decisions like that, when it comes to real estate. So I don't know if you're in that season right now, buying and selling a house. I mean, it's not something that many of us have experience doing. That's why most people get help from a real estate agent. And I want to make sure you guys know where you can get an agent that you can trust. Our endorsed local providers are real estate agents with the heart of a teacher. They have more experience than the average real estate agent, and they put customer service before their commission. And you can find an ELP today at stewardship.com. You don't have to do it alone. Find someone you can trust at stewardship.com.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Well, folks, I had asked for you guys to send in your testimonies, to send in your success stories, what God's doing in your life, the margin that you're experiencing. Because now we've had the show for quite a while, and some of you are letting me know off the record that you're having some success. And so I said, man, let's formalize this. You guys need to send in your praise reports. And so you guys are starting to do that. So we've got several of those. We're going to start reading those so that we can encourage all of us in our journey. This one comes in from Brittany. She says, I listened to episode 73 this morning and heard you say to email in with success stories. So that's what she's doing. My husband and I paid off our debt, which was our car, last month. We started paying close attention to our money starting on September 1st. We're working on baby step number 3. We do have credit cards that we pay off regularly. Boo. So we don't carry a balance on them. However, with a credit card, we were swiping here and there and making a lot of purchases that simply weren't necessary. Sound like anybody else we know, right, folks? Our success is this. From August 1st to August 14th, I spent $1,301. But from September 1 to September 14th, I spent, get this, guys, $277. Wow. She said, paying close attention to my spending has saved us about $1,000 in a half of a month. We are now able to transfer more to our savings to help contribute to baby step number 3. Not only are we saving here, but we've cut our food expenses down from $1,500 a month, yikes, to about $600 a month. I'm amazed with how much more money we feel like we have in our account when we've only been working towards this for 15 days. Thanks for all y'all do. I tune in every day while I work from home, and it's something that I look forward to and something that keeps me motivated. That comes from Brittany. Brittany, thank you so much for sending that in. That is a huge encouragement to all of us, and we are cheering you on. Way to go. Well, our next call comes in from Isaac. He's calling in from Atlantic City, New Jersey. Make sure you guys feel free to call in at 866-357-3283. Isaac, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
Good. I'm calling. I have a question about giving above your regular tithe to the church. Right now, me and my wife are working on baby step number 2, and my church does a faith promise missions fund. And I was wondering what you recommend giving to something like that above the regular 10% you would give to a church. Like, how do you handle that? Do you wait till you're through all the baby steps to give extra, or do you continue to give extra now?
I think it's foundational for us to understand that one is not worship and the other one's not. Let me break that down. So if you were to engage in this giving opportunity, that would obviously be worship. It'd be a way of worshiping. But by not doing it to pay off your debt faster so that you can be in position to give more later, that's just as much worship. You are making sure that you're in position later to give in a scalable way, in a sustainable way, and actually end up giving more in the future. So for me, I'm tithe. You know, you've got tithing is a biblical mandate, and getting out of debt is also to the borrower, slave, and the lender. Those are two things that God wants for us, to be out of debt and to tithe. So those are both obvious in the scriptures, but when it comes to above and beyond giving, obviously that's vague, and of course it's definitely modeled by Christ to give above and beyond even your life. But when you've got one that's spelled out in Scripture, Proverbs 22:7, the borrower, slave, and lender, you don't want to do that. For me, I'm going to stick with what's black and white and make sure I do the black and white, the tithing and getting out of debt. But also, I can, in a future, give more. So that's the way I would do it personally. Now, I always, when I was getting out of debt, I always did like, I think it was like $50 a month or something like that. I did something extra so that I had money in hand to take advantage of opportunities. And, it was just $50 a month, and it gave me an opportunity to still, engage in giving behavior so that my heart was continued to be cultivated, but it wasn't necessarily about an amount. It was more of just always being armed and ready to stay generous so that my heart was cultivated and developed when it comes time where I have real money to be doing it at a mass scale. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does.
Yeah. So I understand the wrestle for sure, but you're going to give a lot more money throughout your lifetime and bring a lot more glory to God if you can get in position as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Remember, you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisonair@stewardship.com. This email comes in from Susan from Canada. We'll be in the market for new living room furniture soon. Don't worry. Our emergency fund will be fully funded first. That's funny. And I like the idea of bringing cash to get a good deal. My hesitation is that here, the sales tax is quite high, 13%. And commonly, when you strike up a cash deal, the person or the business that's doing the sale under the table and not reporting the income as sales for their taxes, nor remitting the sales tax. Morally, I don't want to do cash transactions if the person is not going to report the income. How would you suggest I handle this? I want a good deal, but also want to make sure that the business isn't cutting the government out of my savings. Obviously, no one likes paying taxes, but that is our duty. Thanks and God bless. First of all, I love your ethics. I love your morals. I love your conviction. You're right that we are to pay our taxes. On this particular situation, I must say, Susan, that this is on the seller. This is whether how they decide to handle their finances, not how you handle your finances. I personally wouldn't have a huge conviction against it. You don't know if they're going to pay taxes or not. They might plan not to do taxes. They might get audited the following year and end up paying them. So you just don't know that. But I love the fact that you're convicted, and I don't want you to quench the Holy Spirit at all. Actually, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. So you might want to sit down and pray and ask yourself, this 13%, maybe set it aside. You can't force the seller to actually pay the taxes. You don't want to give him 13% more because he's not going to pay it, right? So I would ask God, this 13% of this purchase price, how would you want us to use it for your kingdom and for your glory? Would you want us to donate it? Do you want us to give it away? Do you want us to take it down to town hall? I would just pray through it. What does God want you to do? Because ultimately, you're managing God's blessings for him, for his glory, not the government's. And so I would go to the ultimate authority and ask him how to spend that 13%. But I love the fact that you're convicted, and don't ever quench that. And don't ever quench it because of any kind of pressure from society. All your buddies at work telling you, oh, I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't worry about it. No, if the Holy Spirit's convicting you, that means you got a great relationship with Christ. You don't want to ever ruin that. So great question. I love the heart behind it. Well, we are all done for today. We're here every day, Monday through Friday. And if you happen to miss an episode, there is no worries. We've got you covered. Every episode lives on stewardship.com and also on the iTunes podcast. So be sure to not only download podcasts, but subscribe as well. This will help us get the word out and give you quicker access to the show. Well, it's been fun, folks. Until we meet again, let's all continue to manage all of God's blessings, God's way, and for God's glory. God bless you.